Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Hour 2 here of Tiki and Tierney, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Understand that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Hour 2, Tiki Barber, sitting in solo, BT's on vacation. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Good conversation with Sean Devaney, talking about some of the issues in the Eastern Conference, mostly. The Western Conference, those are easy talks to have. LeBron, Lakers, Kawhi, Paul George with the Clippers. Clippers did well after the deadline, at the deadline and after the deadline, to fill out their rosters. The Lakers, though, might have the best player on the planet still. We'll get to that in our 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific hour as well. Also going to talk to Sean Porter coming up in about 20 minutes. He's a Fox Sports boxing analyst, as we'll talk about Tyson Fury and the Deontay Wilder rematch, Fury Wilder 2. Fury Wilder 1 was epic. Obviously, he finished in a draw, and if you talk to both parties and some of the participants in that match, it was legitimately a draw. Some people think no boxing match, especially heavyweight, should end that way, but this one felt that way, especially after Tyson Fury got canned, put on his rear, his eyes drifting up to the back of his head, and then miraculously gets back off the canvas and not just finishes, but finishes with some flurries and ultimately ends in a tie. Sean Porter will join us in our next segment. So the NFL draft is about 2 months away, short February. So February is almost over, but it's still 2 months. March or April 24th, 5th, and 6th or so is when the draft is. There's a good chance that Tiki and Tierney could be heading out there. So we'll get you some insight, up-close insights from Las Vegas. We're going to have to go get a tour of the new Raiders stadium and tell you how fantastic it is, because it looks amazing from the renderings that they put out so far. But we're still 2 months away, but we're getting a ton of speculation about some of the top draft picks. The first one was the presumptive number one overall pick, Joe Burrow from LSU, who won the Heisman Trophy and is thought to be headed towards Cincinnati. The Bengals have the number one overall pick after their, what were they, 2-15? They went 2 games, or they 1-15? 1-15 or 2-12? I think it was 2-12 or 2-14 season. They earned, if you can use that word, the number one overall pick and are in need of a quarterback because of Andy Dalton. But Joe Burrow kind of said, look, I have some leverage. It's made us scratch our heads a little bit. What are you trying to imply here? You thinking about pulling Eli Manning and not go to Cincinnati? Which made a lot of the Cincinnati Bengals' current players get upset and talk back trash at all the media members who were making that a big story. But, I mean, we were just responding to what Joe Burrow said. He acted like he didn't want to go there. So if he doesn't want to go there, then maybe he's going to try to pull a power play. Well, he's not the only quarterback who's talking about where he might want to be. One of the best over the last couple of years has been Alabama's Tua Tagovailoa. We all know his story. It was fantastic. Comes in the national championship game against SEC rival Georgia, brings them back and wins. Goes the next year, gets beat up by the Clemson Tigers in the championship in 2019. And then this season, they didn't even get there. So, because he broke his He did break his leg again, but he also dislocated his hip and cracked his hip bone after losing to LSU, and so they didn't have a chance and did not play in the college football playoff for the first time since the college football playoff ensued. Now, we talked to him at the Super Bowl. There was a big test that was coming up about 2 weeks ago, maybe it was a week ago, to see if his hip had healed. It has healed. He's likely not going to compete at the combine, meaning run around, run the 40, or do any of the on-field drills, but he will be there, I'm sure, talking to the respective teams and coaches and those evaluators just to see what kind of guy he is. And they will be very impressed because he's a great young man. And I think he has a really good future, assuming he stays healthy. You knock on wood if you're Tua. But as always, this happens at this point, just like Joe Burrow was asked about, hey, Joe, you going to be interested in going to the Cincinnati Bengals? He said he had leverage. Tua Tagovailoa was asked which team he would like to play for, and he had an interesting take.
If I could choose what team I want to play on as far as my favorite team growing up, then I'd probably tell you the Cowboys. But, I mean, they're so far down.
Bump Dak Prescott.
No, I'm not trying to bump them. I'll learn under them, you know.
You'd be willing to learn.
Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, I just want to be able to play again. I wouldn't mind learning under whatever guy that's the starter. Give me a whole year to rest up, you know, and then go back out and compete. But, you know, I just want to go back out and play.
That was with the NFL Network, Steve Wyche. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody's talking to him or speaking in his ear. He maybe grew up a Cowboys fan in Hawaii. He could have, forgetting that Dak Prescott is their starting quarterback. And it's only interesting because Dak Prescott is in a year-long contract extension negotiation with the Dallas Cowboys, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So, given that we are Sports Talk Radio, it just made you start thinking. Made me very interested. Is there a scenario? Because the Dallas Cowboys and Sam Wyche said this. I mean, Steve Wyche said this. They are way down relative to picking a quarterback. The quarterbacks are likely to go in all in the top 7 or 8 or so. I mean, Jordan Love might find his way up there as well. But the Cowboys, who don't need a quarterback if they sign Dak Prescott, but may not sign Dak Prescott, don't pick until 17. But listening to Tua and the way that he presented that, and, you know, we know he can play under somebody because that's exactly what he did when he was at Alabama until he was called upon and won them a national championship. This kid is egoless. I mean, he was so fun and interesting to talk about, talk to at the Super Bowl. You just want to root for him. He's got like a great persona, which you can tell would be great in a locker room. But we're also talking about the Dallas Cowboys. And we know one thing about the Dallas Cowboys. They are an emotional team. And their owner and general manager, Jerry Jones, is an emotional person. We hear it every week because he talks every week. Sometimes he's happy about it. A lot of times he's not. And he's got this emotional bend to do things maybe that kind of are outside the box. Now, hear me out here. If you're Jerry Jones and you know that building a Super Bowl championship team requires having flexibility, are you really going to pay your quarterback $35 to $40 million that he's demanding and lock yourself in to this, I don't know, sometimes they say, they call it, especially when you have other guys that you have to pay and that you've already paid, salary cap purgatory. You have no flexibility. You still got to sign Amari Cooper. You still got to sign Byron Jones on the other side of the football. Do you really want to pay him $35 to $40 million when his value, I use that word value for what he's worth, is in dispute? They offered him $33 million. He said he wants $40. You're going to fall somewhere in between when the alternative is giving up a couple of assets, your first-round pick, maybe a second, maybe a third as well, or future picks for a really good, really good. I mean, you could, well, I won't say great because he was hurt too much, but a damn good college quarterback and Tua Tagovailoa, who is going to be on a rookie deal. And not only is that, he's going to be your first rounder. So you have him for 5 years. You have 5 years of runway to try to win this thing out, as opposed to the one or two that you might get with Dak, because you got to pay him so much you can't fill out the rest of your roster. Does it make sense? And do you think that could happen? I could absolutely see that happening. And if I'm Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys and I don't believe in Dak Prescott, not that you don't believe he's good, but you just don't believe that he's worth $40 million a year, I might do this. In fact, I probably would do this. It's not a knock on Dak, but Dak's got to go get paid. And we talked about this yesterday. Emmitt Smith is espousing taking a hometown discount and staying with the Dallas Cowboys. She can give a little money to Amari Cooper, but then that kind of makes you think that Amari Cooper also is going to have to take a hometown discount in order to stay, because you got to sign Byron Jones on the other side as well. It just creates this spiral of hometown discounts to stay with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, if you move off of Dak Prescott and get some assets and get Tua, you don't have this conversation. I think it's interesting. And if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I would at least consider it. It is not outside of the realm of possibility. Absolutely not. 855-212-4227. Samter, what say you?
So here's my question. Let's say you're the Dolphins sitting at 5,
mm-hmm.
or the Chargers sitting at 4.
Yes.
Or even maybe not the Lions.
The Chargers are the challenge.
Right.
Because the Chargers, in their minds at least, think we can win in the next year or two.
So let's say you're the Chargers, or at 4, the Dolphins at 5. And the Cowboys come to you and say, here's pick number 17,
mm-hmm.
and a sign and trade kind of thing with Dak to give us that fourth pick. And then we get to it.
That's hard to do, though.
It doesn't really work
in the NFL.
Like, if you,
I'm trying
you,
to think. Is
you
that...
sign Dak and you just tell him, hey, listen, we're going to move you to Miami or L.A.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still big markets.
That's hard. It's just hard to do in the NFL. I hear what you're saying, and I thought about that as well. Like, would a sign and trade work? I'm trying to think, has they ever done it? I don't know if they've ever done a sign and trade in the NFL.
I mean, it's got to be difficult because of salary cap reasons.
Honestly, the closest one would be Odell, because he signed and then they moved him like almost immediately. The challenge is for salary cap reasons, how do you not put all of that signing bonus onto your salary cap? Because once you trade a guy, it all accelerates. There's actually a very easy way to do it. Most people don't, is to not give the player a signing bonus, give him a roster bonus. So the roster bonus counts against 1 year's cap. So it happens right immediately and doesn't get spread out. So that it's interesting to think of it that way, but I don't think that would happen. I do think it is worth the Cowboys' efforts to try to move up and potentially take Tua. And even if they're not, to at least have the conversations and probably leak it that they're having these conversations, that they're thinking about moving up to number 4 or 5 or 3 even, because the Giants – the Giants are at 4. Who's at 4? The Giants are at 4, Sam. I thought the Giants were at 4, not the whoever it is. So move up and jump in front of the Chargers.
No, you're right. The Giants are 4. The Chargers were 6.
6, exactly.
I knew the Chargers were right before, after the Dolphins. My mistake. But so, even so, 5 or 6, that's the most likely spot for Tua.
So you move up. The Giants don't need a quarterback. The Giants need help in many different ways on the defensive side of the ball. Offensive linemen. So you trade with the Cowboys. Now, this is like doing business with the enemy, but whatever. If it works for you, you trade with the Cowboys. You go get a 17th pick and some future assets to work with, and you can rebuild yourself relatively quickly. The Cowboys get to move up and get a shot at Tua. And if nothing else, it creates pressure on Dak that he's about to get replaced. And you can get that deal done for significantly less than $40 million. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I am saying that Jerry Jones is an emotional man who wants to win a championship. And if he wants to do that cheaply, I mean that as with a cheap quarterback, with cheaper labor at the quarterback, he might want to think about it. Dak Prescott doesn't seem like he's signing anytime soon. And I'm not sure the Cowboys should want to sign him $40 million a year. Fury Wilder 2 is tomorrow, and former welterweight champ Sean Porter joins us next to talk about it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by GEICO. Whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Tiki Barber, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Big, big fight coming up this weekend. I'm excited for this one. Very rarely are heavyweight fights in the last, 5 to 8 years or so, has it jumped to the top of our consciousness like it is right now. We've talked to Tyson Fury I think only once we've had Tyson Fury. But Deontay Wilder we've had a couple of times. Once was at the Super Bowl. Once was before the last time he fought Tyson Fury. And this one sounds exciting, really, really exciting. To help us break it down, Sean Porter, Fox Sports boxing analyst and two-time welterweight world champion, joins us now on the phone. Sean, thanks for hopping on. How you doing, man?
You got it, man. I'm doing great. Very excited, and wish you guys were here to experience this, man. It's amazing.
Yeah, this one sounds like it's getting the boxing world juiced up in a way for a heavyweight fight that hasn't felt this way in a long time. Maybe Wilder Fury 1 could have been this, but I don't think we had as much familiarity with Tyson Fury as we do now. What's the emotion like around this fight? Because it feels like boxing really needed something like this.
There's a lot going on for the world of boxing. I mean, first and foremost, let's start with two of the best, not just heavyweights, but boxers in the world are going up against each other. It's kind of rare in this day and age to see that. Then you move into the fact that they're both fighting for two different promotional companies, PBC and Top Rank. Two different networks, ESPN and Fox. I think right now everyone is seeing this merger as something that's going to grow and really just blossom throughout the sport of boxing and really help this sport get on the level that it's never been at.
Yeah, no, and I think that's important because, I mean, I'm of that age. I'm close to your age, Sean, where, like, boxing was a big deal. Like, when these big matches happened, you stopped. You paid attention. You wanted to see the outcome, and it faded a little bit. But it's starting to come back because of personalities like Deontay Wilder, who has a great and unbelievable story. Tyson Fury does as well. Now, I know you, just like a lot of people, watched the first one, and it ended in a draw. It was Fury's fight early, but Deontay Wilder has such finishing power. He put him on the canvas in the 12th round, and it ultimately ended in that draw. You think that was a fair outcome? Because I think some people don't think so, but if you actually go back and rewatch it, it probably was a fair outcome.
No, I do think it was a fair outcome. I thought it was the fairest outcome that could have happened that night. And even that's coming from someone who wanted to be unfair. I looked behind me to another boxer. I said, hey, if Deontay knocks him down in this round, if you're the ref, are you just going to wave it off? And he looked at me, he said, yeah, I'll just wave it up. Like, we are fans of the sport, but we are especially fans of our hometown or country champion, yeah, Deontay Wilder, to the point where, you know, even in me trying to cheat and, you know, in my own mind.
I hear you. Have a bias.
Once the ref didn't wave it off, I said, well, hey, we're looking at a draw. At the least, you know, and if anything, you know, Tyson Fury would have pulled out a very close decision. But I agree with the draw. I think that the draw was God's doing, and it set up something even bigger for both of those guys. I mean, you talked about their stories. Both of these men have amazing stories.
Yep.
And both of these men are amazing athletes and humans. And I tell you, you look at anything that they've done. Whether it's in the ring or out of the ring, it's something that you can be inspired by and motivated by. So not only does the boxing world need this, but the world needs to see both of these guys go head-to-head tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think – I don't know if we lost Sean there, but we're talking to Sean Porter, who is a former welterweight world champion, and he's a Fox sports analyst now, talking about boxing here. Sean, are you still there?
Here?
Yeah, Sean's still there. All right, okay. So one of the things, Sean, that I think you talk about that bias. The first Wilder Fury, I obviously had that bias. We had talked to Deontay Wilder. I loved him. He was great. He had great energy. He could talk trash. He was fun. I just dismissed Tyson Fury. But Tyson Fury is big, man. He's 6'9". Yeah. He's huge.
Yeah. You dismiss Tyson Fury. You dismiss Tyson Fury because of his structure.
Yes.
Or his build.
That's right.
So to speak. And then once you look at Deontay Wilder, I mean, you put them next to each other and you just say there's no way. But again, they're both blessed. Tyson Fury can move in the ring the way we haven't seen anyone move in the ring at that weight in a very, very long time. I try to be very careful at using the name Muhammad Ali because it carries so much weight.
Yeah.
I'm not comparing Tyson Fury to Muhammad Ali, and I'm not saying he's anything like Muhammad Ali in terms of his and who he is as a fighter. But the dude, Tyson Fury, can skate around the ring. He can get in and get out. He can play with you, use the ropes if he needs to. I mean, he's got so much in the arsenal that, like you just said, the first time you just counted him out, and then you got a good taste of who Tyson Fury is. And guess what? Tyson Fury says, I'm not coming to this fight the same fighter. And he's done some things to really build up his muscle, and he's coming in the ring trying to knock out Deontay Wilder. I bought into the hype, man. I think Tyson Fury is going to go out there for a knockout, and I think we're going to have an exciting fight from beginning to end. And it could be an early night.
Yeah. No, this is going to be a fun one. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 7 p.m. What is that, Mountain? What is the time zone? I think it's 7 p.m. out in Las Vegas. So it's going to be 6 p.m. out in Las Vegas. It's going to be an unbelievable fight to watch. Two great champions going after each other. Now, let's talk real quickly, Sean, about what happens post this fight. Is it automatically a rematch? You know what I mean? Because we had to draw number one. One of these two guys is gonna lose, at least unless they draw again. But even if they do, that just makes the rematch even more so. Like, is there someone else that should be included in this heavyweight conversation post this fight, or are these guys going right at each other again? I know Anthony Joshua kind of dodged Wilder for a long time, but does he get back in this conversation?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I think the talks amongst the boxing world as well as the networks is trilogy. I think that this does have the making to be a trilogy. That's the talk that I'm hearing. And here's a scenario for you. This fight goes the distance. It's very action-packed, and one guy gets their hand raised. If the decision is justified, then I think we could definitely see a trilogy. Another scenario, Deontay Wilder comes out there, and Tyson Fury comes right at Deontay, and Deontay knocks him out in a round or two. You're saying, okay, Tyson Fury wasn't able to outbox Deontay Wilder to a victory, and then he wasn't able to knock out Deontay Wilder and got knocked out in the process of trying to knock out Deontay. I think then you kind of move out of the statement of a trilogy, at least not right away, and then you start to look at other fighters out there who may have an opportunity to post a great challenge for Deontay Wilder, and not just a great challenge, but a great fight for the world. And I think now we're talking about possibly Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Sean Porter, Fox Sports boxing analyst, two-time welterweight champion of the world himself, joins us here on Teak and Tierney. Before we let you go, Sean, I don't want to make you handicap it, but I am going to make you handicap it. Who do you think comes out victorious in this one? Tyson Fury looks great right now. He lost a lot of weight. He looks very athletic, even though he's 6'9". Deontay Wilder is always jacked and ready to go. Who do you like in this one?
This one is just so hard for me to call. I love the way that the fight is shaping up and who it's and the way both of these guys are carrying themselves.
Yeah.
A lot of poise and a lot of confidence, and I love that. So you try to handicap me, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm telling everyone out there who's listening right now, if you haven't heard about these guys, if you haven't heard about this fight, order the fight because you will not be disappointed. If you're not even a fight fan and you just want to see what's going on in the world, there's nothing else going on in the world more exciting or more pleasing than this fight that's going to come to everyone tomorrow night.
So yeah,
I just encourage everyone to enjoy it and be blessed and be amazed at what's going to happen tomorrow night. I can guarantee you that. I won't pick a winner, but I will guarantee that this will be one of the most exciting fights that we probably will ever see in our lifetime.
Knockout, draw, or decision? You got to at least give me that.
I'll give you that. I really do think knockout.
Nice.
I'll tell you what, my heart wants 12 unbelievable rounds. And then a knockout at the end.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Kind of like we almost saw in Tyson and Fury, Deontay Wilder won, but Fury got up. Sean, appreciate you, man. Thanks for hopping on. Enjoy the weekend out there in Las Vegas. It's going to be a hell of a fight. You're absolutely right. A lot of people need to tune in. I know I'm going to be. Thanks for hopping on with us for a little bit, Sean.
I appreciate your time, and I got to say hello to Tiki. I don't know if he was on, but I didn't.
Yeah, this is me. It's been me the whole time, Sean.
Oh, snap. Okay, it's been you the whole time. Well, hey, man, nice to talk to you.
Appreciate
you. Of course, I come from the football world as well, so big fan. You have a good one, all right?
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Sean Porter, two-time welterweight champion of the world. He's working as a desk analyst this weekend for Fox Sports and also inside PBC Boxing on Fox and FS1. So he's got his hands full this weekend. It's going to be fun. I don't watch a ton of boxing anymore. This one, I got to tune into. I really got to tune into. The Boston Celtics versus Ray Allen. This is a saga that's getting pretty nasty. We're going to discuss it next on Inbounds and Out of Bounds. But first, Richard Ackerman, can you please give us an update? Inbounds and Out of Bounds is up next here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Sampson and I were having an interesting conversation in that break. If you are, like, positive, you're going to become the best at whatever sport you're doing, whether it's NBA, NFL, golf, basketball, whatever, why not look at boxing? Because we were looking at the purse for this match, $25 million for both of them in one fight. So if you get to elite and you're fighting other like greats and it's a marketable event, you can make a lot of money being a boxer. We're talking about Floyd Mayweather and his, I mean, I don't know what his total net worth actually is, but $505 million. That's what it is, Samter. $505 million is his worth. Now, you think about Eli, who played 16 seasons, I think, might be 17. He made $248 million. Floyd Mayweather made $500 million, or at least that's his net worth. Boxing is interesting, man. Boxing is really, really interesting.
I'm on a website that has, you know, estimated net worths.
Yeah.
Has LeBron at $480 million as his net worth.
Whoa,
so Floyd is higher than that. Eli, they have his net worth at $150 million. Because obviously you take away taxes and all the other stuff, investments, whatever else they're doing. But at the end of the day, like, if you're going to be the top of boxing, you're going to make money that no one else makes.
Yeah. But, just looking at this fight, $25 million for one night. You get knocked out in 10 minutes. You're still going to make $25 million. Wow. Speaking of basketball, this weekend, it's two full days of college basketball on CBS. A Saturday triple header begins at noon Eastern with Tennessee at 13th-ranked Auburn. Then a Sunday afternoon doubleheader, including Big East action between St. John's and number 16 Seton Hall, followed by 7th-ranked Maryland, meeting 25th-ranked Ohio State. The march to the tournament is on CBS. Didn't Ohio State just lose? I think they just lost Ohio State. Maybe they didn't. I can't remember. I was watching them the other day. I don't know if they won or lost. They may not be 25th next week. But they're 25th right now going into this weekend. So watch them on CBS against Maryland. Are we ready for Inbounds and Out of Bounds? I think we are. Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
I was right. Ohio State did just lose last night. I knew I saw that somewhere to Iowa. They lost. Iowa's also ranked. So not like they lost to a team they shouldn't have lost to.
One, it's interesting, the Big Ten is very, very deep. We're actually going to get to that later here in Inbounds, Out of Bounds, but just keep that on the tip of your cap. Number one, right after the Pro Bowl, Browns wideout Jarvis Landry underwent hip surgery and will reportedly be out 6 to 8 months. He might be able to work out during training camp.
Oh,
but
I didn't hear it was
likely
that long.
Miss a couple games, maybe.
6 to 8 months.
6 to 8 months.
Why'd he wait so long?
So, he was hoping to avoid surgery, and I'll answer that question in the next sentence, but the injury flared up, ironically, in the Pro Bowl, really interesting that who would have thought maybe he could have avoided it had he rested.
By the way,
this
is why guys don't play in the Pro Bowl. Seriously.
What's
now,
the point?
It's actually a good thing it did, because this would have flared up in, like, I don't know, May. And then he really would have been screwed because he'd have missed half the season as opposed to maybe
Yeah, but
a
if he rested enough and it healed, who knows?
I hear you.
So now the question is, the Browns' top two receivers, both Landry and Odell Beckham Jr., will be recovering from offseason surgery. As we know, OBJ had surgery for a sports hernia and should be ready to go in the next month or two. So inbounds, out of bounds. The Browns' duo of Landry and Beckham is the best in the AFC.
AFC? I think I read this question wrong. I thought you said NFL. In the AFC, they probably are, but I'm going to say... Yeah, I'm going to change my answer here. I got to say inbounds. Because it's got... I don't know why I read this as the NFL. They're not in the NFL, clearly, because Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, who both had well over 1,000 yards together, and I think, how many touchdowns did they score? 8 and 9 touchdowns, respectively. But I think in the AFC, they are. And even though their stats weren't overwhelming, I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. finished with 850, 60 yards or something like that. I forget what he finished with. It's because a lot of it, he was hurt. If they're both healthy, which is now looking like a serious question mark with Jarvis Landry, they are the best tandem because they're both dynamic. They both can make humongous plays. So I'm going to say inbounds, not in the NFL, but in the AFC. The question is, can Baker Mayfield be accurate enough to take advantage of that?
So I'm looking at a couple other teams. Texans have Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins.
Fuller's just, I mean...
He just can't stay healthy.
They're all the same. Like, these really good receivers who are small, they can't stay healthy.
Just can never stay
healthy. Fuller is a stud. I remember him at Notre Dame. He destroyed Virginia. But yeah, who else? So
And then you got the Chiefs with Hill and Watkins.
Yeah, I mean, if I did Hill and... If you made receiver slash tight end, Hill and Kelsey... Because Kelsey had, I mean... What, 1,200 yards receiving last year? I guess kind of by default he is a receiver. So you could say Kansas City, but I'm going to say it's those guys.
Are you in or are you out?
The NBA is officially back in action with the second half tipping off last night. And Hawks All-Star guard Trae Young picked up right where he left off. The second-year 21-year-old dropped 50 points in a big upset last night over the Heat and is now averaging the second most points in the NBA behind only James Harden at 30.1 points per game. Young's PER is 11th best at 24.7 behind the likes of Giannis, Luka, Harden, AD, Kawhi, Embiid, and LeBron, among a few others. In or out, Trae Young will be a top 15 player within the next 5 years.
Yeah, I think this is inbounds because a couple of those top-end players that are in like the top 4 or 5 are going to start aging out and either be out of the league or no longer top 15. There's a couple that you got to think of that are coming that likely aren't top 15 yet that might surpass him. One of them is Zion, obviously, but I don't think there's enough of them that are going to knock Trae Young out of that top 15 classification. Now the challenge in Atlanta is that they got to get good. I mean, they took a real big gamble on how they were going to build their roster. Obviously, with John Collins and Trae Young, it felt interesting, but then they moved. They got Clint Capella, and you know, they drafted a couple. Obviously, Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter from Virginia, my guy, who's supposed to be a good D guy. So if they play complementary basketball, I think the team can get good, which elevates the level of Trae Young's appreciation. But the problem is Trae Young sometimes gets stuck in iso ball, and that's not good for anybody.
Are you in or are you out?
I'm torn whether he's a volume guy or
that's
if
right.
he's legitimately like
that's
a
right.
star. I guess we'll find out more.
I think he can be.
Yeah.
Pierce is their coach. And
the fact that his PR is so high, he's shooting about 46% from the field, so it's getting better, I think, as the season goes on.
But he's got to facilitate more.
Yeah. Well, another team in the East that looks like it's on the way up is the Boston Celtics, currently third in the East, but just a game and a half behind the Raptors for the two seed. The Celts have the most titles in NBA history with 17, but haven't won since 2008 with the original Big Three, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen.
Yep.
However, since then, the players and team's relationship with Allen has fractured when Ray spurned the team in 2012 to join LeBron and the Heat to win another title. Since then, Paul Pierce had his jersey retired, and the team announced KG will get his up in the Raptors next season, but no plans yet to honor Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday at 98.5 The Sports Hub, GM Danny Ainge discussed the matter with Future and Rich.
I play golf with Ray Allen every summer.
Oh, no kidding. All right, so do you guys have a pretty amicable relationship?
Yeah, we get along great. I'm a big, big fan of Ray's, and I'll always be grateful to Ray for the championship that he gave us. I don't hold any grudges against Ray at all, but I know that that's not the exact same feeling of everybody in the organization. These are not my decisions, and so if someone asks my opinion on this, I'll weigh in at the appropriate time, but this is Wick's team, and he gets to make those decisions.
So, despite the bad blood, the Celtics should retire Ray Allen's jersey.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I think Ray Allen was great there. In Boston, but Ray Allen played 19 seasons in the NBA. Started with Milwaukee, then he's in Seattle, then Boston for only 5 of those seasons, and then 2 in Miami, obviously where he won a championship, as we all know, in epic fashion. You know, Chris Bosh tipping it out to him and finding himself behind the 3-point line and drilling it, and they were able to come back and win. But, yeah, I'm going to say out of bounds of this one. I don't think they need to placate the perception of Ray when he was there, especially if the fans don't love him and embrace him. And as crazy as it may sound, even his teammates are still holding that grudge. So I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't think they need to do it.
Are you in or are you out?
Vincent, you think about that team and that big three.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do one, do two, do all three. But you're right. The numbers and the amount of time you spent there, mm-hmm. maybe not. Tomorrow we get the biggest college hoops game of the season as number one Baylor hosts number three Kansas.
Of the season?
I think so. I mean, there were some big games early on, but it was so early.
It's hard to tell what was
Think
what.
About Michigan True. State back then being number yep. one and losing. It doesn't really matter at this point because
right.
they're not even ranked.
That's right.
Now it's a battle for both Big 12 supremacy and as well number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Baylor star Macy Oteague is questionable with a wrist injury, but the Bears have won a Big 12 record 23 straight games, including a 12-point win over the Jayhawks 6 weeks ago. Now, while the conference has two teams in the top three, they only have three ranked teams overall. While the Big East has 5 top 21 teams, the ACC has 3 top 11 teams, as well as unranked defending national champion Virginia.
Who playing better, by the way.
And then the Big Ten could get in as many as 10 teams to the tournament. So in or out, the Big 12 is the best conference from top to bottom in college basketball.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that, Samter. I think the issue here is that the Big 12 has two epically good teams. Kansas is always good. Baylor, might win the regular season tournament for the first time in a while, unseeding Kansas. And those two teams have good shots, like really good shots, of winning the NCAA tournament. But the Big Ten is the best team, best conference in basketball. We were talking about Ohio State earlier. Iowa is ranked. Penn State, when was the last time we talked about Penn State being in a top 25 ranked team in basketball? We do that in football, but not in basketball. So it's definitely the Big Ten. As much as I want to say the ACC is going to find their way, it's the Big Ten.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
For those of you all watching on CBS Sports Network, they are going to peace out from us for the weekend. So on television, have a fantastic weekend. There's some sports going on. XFL, obviously, you can catch Wilder Fury. We talked to Sean Porter earlier. He encouraged you to tune in. I will do the same. Coming up next, though, at 5 p.m. on CBS Sports Network, it's Sacred Heart at Merrimack. Be sure to tune in. Embiid called himself the greatest player, but who actually is?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.